Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Cloak and Dagger Season 2, Episode 4, Rabbit Hold.
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeffrey Randall, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing real good, sir. This Cloak and Dagger show is it's delivering real hard.
It really is. I'm constantly impressed by how well written and well acted and well like thought out the show is. It doesn't feel like a teen drama, and I feel like it doesn't have any right to be this good.
Right? Like, you are on Freeform. How dare you be this good?
I really like the spoiler alert, I guess, for this episode, episode 4, season 2. I just really, really loved the arcs that both characters are going through this episode.
Absolutely.
One is they're just both dealing with like serious issues. One is dealing with like uncovering her own trauma, like in a really realistic and interesting way. I freaking loved all the stuff with the records and the ones that were so wrapped being ones that she hasn't accessed in a while, I guess. Like,
well, I interpreted that as is those are memories that she repressed and packed away.
Absolutely.
And that's why they were still shrink wrapped.
That's right. They're memories that she has not accessed. She's like, she has them, and they're a decision she made that she feels ashamed of, so she hasn't revisited them or listened to them, as it were. And I just freaking loved that. It's the kind of thing that would be in a much better show or movie, like, for real. Like, I just really was impressed by that scene. And all three records were successively harder to watch.
Yeah.
And they had the imagery of the, like, I kind of called the one when I saw the headphones, I was like, oh, she's going to like ignore something.
Yep.
But then I did not get what the handle was going to be. And when it happened, I was totally emotionally invested in that. It's really, really good.
Yep. Oh man. The first one, I don't want to pun too hard, but the first one hit me really hard.
Yeah.
And she didn't really have a choice there. Since she was a baby, but the things that were happening in that room with her, and then the choice of song, like we've been talking a lot recently about the choice of music and how that really drives the narrative and drives the emotion of the scene. And the choice of song, like just in the title, was just so, it was such a darker take on the title of that song.
Yeah.
Especially with in the context of the scene.
They used Hit Me Baby One More Time, but like a dark, ominous acoustic version of Hit Me Baby One More Time. I am so impressed. I really am. I loved her arc in this episode. The episode had stakes. Like, the fact that Mayhem got pulled in, and you expected her to get Mayhem out, but then she pulls Connors out after Tyrone had that whole conversation about how he fears not being able to handle him if he ever gets out.
Yep.
It was just so good. And it's because she broke the rules. Like, it was all so well established. And I loved the twist of her having to give up her powers to go in. That's like the thing she had to do. And so since she did it, he lost his powers as well. That was such a great twist. Like, there's a lot of episodes of shows where someone loses their powers and it sort of played for, I don't know, it's just not as well done as it is done here. I'm just really in love with this show.
Most of the time you see people losing their powers because it's like either there's something mentally that they have to fight through, or like they're just not worthy at the time or whatever, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But like, she had to knowingly give up her powers to move forward to resolve this whole thing.
Yeah. The only way out is through. It was just a very spiritual take on this whole issue, and I just loved it.
What did he call it? He called it the Gauntlet of Transactions.
Yes, the Gauntlet of Transactions.
Ugh, I still love that.
I wanted to see more of it. She didn't finish the Gauntlet of Transactions.
Right?
I really wanted more of that. I love those kinds of, like, gauntlets that people have to go through, the challenges that people have to go through to like reach some spiritual conclusion, and like making it a dreamlike physical world that they have to actually go through these things. I really enjoyed those types of elements in storytelling, and I'm just very, very impressed with this. I feel like all I'm saying is gushing how good it is, and it's because I mean that. And then, yeah, Tyrone finally seeing his mother. And she had her own arc this episode where she's having to come to terms with her baby being an adult now. Like, that was this subtle thing. Not really subtle. They say it outright over and over. But, like, it's still just, like, an arc they included in this episode that they did not have to, you know?
Yeah. And then they showed her, like, they revealed a little bit more of her backstory to where we really understand that, like, Tyrone hadn't seen shit compared to her.
No, last season she had a gun. And we wondered what that was about, and they never said anything. And this season, she pulls the gun on Tyrone, and then she hotwires a car.
She didn't hotwire. She uses the screwdriver.
Right.
To, like, forcibly crank it.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's not the same thing, but it's the same thing in my mind. She knows how to steal cars.
She steals a car.
That is a skill set. And she said there's some things you never forget, which means it's something from her youth, probably. That Tyrone knows nothing about, which is, I don't know, makes her all the more intriguing. I may not even follow it very closely. Was the mall Tandy's vision? Or, because she finds Mayhem in the mall.
The mall was effectively where she was supposed to go. And the way that it wasn't very clear, but the way that I interpreted it happening is that when she deposited her dagger and got the token from it, the receipt, she was able to look through that
right, the viewfinder or whatever.
The viewfinder, yeah, whatever it's called. And then, you know, when she focused it up to where she could see what she was looking at, she just ended up over there.
Okay, yeah, I guess the question I had was, it seemed like this was Tandy's arc that she's trying to go through, this mall. Like, it was her challenges that she's facing, like the mirrors. I guess it's the same mall for everyone, because Connors is there too, and everyone just has their own decision to make. Like, I'm sure Connors would have seen his own group of reflections and had to choose among a group of reflections.
Yeah, you have to choose which one you want to be.
That was the other thing. I still didn't understand fully what she was choosing there. That part was a little weak for me, because I just didn't understand what is her decision.
All of the mirrors had a different version of her.
Yeah. Like,
one was in ballet costume, one was the one with the dagger.
One was in club clothes.
One was in club clothes, you know, just the usual what do I want to be when I grow up kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if that fully tracks that, like, that's the decision she was making. I don't know. I was not clear on that. The records was very clear.
I love that it was a pun on the word records. Or not really a pun so much as a double meaning there.
Right, sure.
Because it was records of records.
Yeah, it was. It was the her memories. I really enjoyed the records sort of analogy they were using. The mirrors was less, I don't know, less stark to me, because I didn't understand exactly what she was having to choose. I almost wish that that baby Tyrone had shown up and given her some sort of, like, just some word as to what she had to actually choose.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been too explicit, but I just didn't know what they were going for with the mirrors exactly.
Maybe it's what she wanted her alter ego to be, and because there was only one half of the Detective O'Reilly in there, she didn't have an alter ego. She was just her. She was just Mayhem.
Yeah, I definitely think that had something to do with why Mayhem didn't have a reflection. She didn't have a reflection because there's not two parts of her. All this
either that or she's a vampire.
Yeah, that's probably it. She's a vampire.
Yeah. Clearly.
Since they got split up in two, she became a vampire.
Yep.
I dig it.
Man, we're good. We're good at this.
Yeah, we're nailed really it. Great, great fan theory. Okay. Well, we got at least one feedback. As we said last week, we've got tons of in-game stuff to get to, so we're kind of keeping these Cloak and Dagger short. But if you guys have things you want to hear more about Cloak and Dagger, write us in. Write in some stuff. But right now we're getting like 500 messages about in-game, so we're going to get over to that here in a minute on the next so we can record that for the next episode drop. But what do we got? Jake Brooke had some feedback about Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, he's going to say an email. Cloak and Dagger Season 2, Episode 4! Exclamation mark. First off, so glad that Cloak and Dagger is this good. Really helps in keeping me distracted this last week. Holy shit! Until endgame. I love the parenthetical holy shit there.
Yeah,
it's good. He says, okay, nitty-gritty time. I feel like the show has really come into its own when it comes to balancing its concurrent stories. Shown beautifully this episode with the cuts between Ty telling his mom the story and Tandy learning about the missing girls with Mayhem. The music they use in this show is so fucking amazing, and love the details of the acoustic rendition of Hit Me Baby One More Time, setting the unsettling tone for Tandy's parents' abusive relationship. But what do you guys think the records really represent?
Oh, well, we already got into the record representing. I think they represented memories, all of which she had access to, and part of her challenge was she had to go into her memories and unrepress some things, deal with some things that she was trying to ignore. And those things were all related to her. She should have known that her father was abusive based on these three events, but she chose to ignore those things so she could have a memory of her father that was sort of clear of that and sort of deify her father. And her mother made the same decision for her. So that's, I think, what they were getting at with the records.
Do you remember in the last episode when they were in the lab with the mice? And one thing that the doctor said there was that she was working through, or she was trying to kind of like see what happened when things are exposed to this stuff, and then she's also trying to, or what happened with the terrors, and she's also trying to unpack some of her trauma from that event. And I think that that is what Tandy had to do here, was unpack her trauma from past events.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing Jake brings up is the missing girls. I think this has been a really, really beautiful way of getting into this real problem. I just have really enjoyed it. We talked about it with Daredevil, how Hell's Kitchen feels lived in. Like, the problems feel real because the characters feel real. I know we haven't really gotten to know any of these missing girls, but like, it doesn't feel like they're going after a human trafficker. It feels like they're actually encountering a real problem, and there are people in pain, and they need to stop that pain.
Yeah, yeah. And then when the cops are the way that they are, you know, where that one guy at the, what was his, the Bayside or whatever, at the other precinct,
yeah,
he was like, you know, we're gonna process her, and O'Reilly's like, what? Why are you processing her? He's like, oh, prostitution's still a crime, but you know, if she flips on these guys, then we'll let her off. And she has to say, like, no, she's way more terrified of them than she is of you. And, like, what the hell?
Yeah. No, those are some real issues with our criminal justice system. The way that people are coerced into confessions, and the way that the power is not even given. It's just the power imbalance is so huge, and it's a real problem. And I love that this show is tackling those real problems. It makes me sad to have to be confronted with it and think about it, especially in New Orleans. New Orleans, like, human trafficking in New Orleans is a real problem because so many people go down there partying and get taken.
Like Michaela.
Like, it happens. It's crazy. It's just been really hitting home with me. I've really enjoyed it. It's speaking to real problems. The characters feel real, the world feels very lived in. I just can't wait to see more of this show. I like it.
Yep. I'm very pleasantly surprised at how good this show has gotten.
Me too.
And how good it continues to be. All right, so Dimsdope sent us a note on Twitter. Hey guys, just listen to your recap episode of Cloak and Dagger, Season 2, Episode 3. I didn't make this connection until you talked about O'Reilly's boyfriend in the fridge, but that could explain the flashback scene in which the mayhem version of O'Reilly went berserk on the fridge in her apartment and threw it down the stairs. At first, I thought this scene was a little out of nowhere, but now it makes sense that something as simple as seeing her fridge linked to the dark past of losing her boyfriend in a brutal way. Thought this was an interesting aha moment I had and wanted to share. Also, it bugged me a little bit that they never showed the good O'Reilly show up to her apartment and be hella confused as to where her fridge went. Thanks for all the great content, guys. Keep it up.
Those are two really good points. One in the show's favor and one not in the show's favor. I love the thought that that's why she destroyed the fridge. I did not think of that at all.
I thought it was just because it was making noise and she was like, "You're pissing me off making noise."
No, not all of us have the problems with our smoke detectors, Jeff.
Man. you're just connecting things out of the ceiling.
You're just connecting it to yourself.
I am.
Yeah, and then the fact that we never see O'Reilly show up at her apartment. I guess it happened the same, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what we're supposed to believe about that. That is weird.
Maybe if Mayhem has a coming back kind of thing, like coming back out into the world and O'Reilly has to, like, merge with her to become a whole person again or something. Like, maybe we'll get one of those, you know, 242 days ago, and she's just laying in the bed because of the whole flashback sequence. She's laying in the hospital bed, and she has to have, like, a physical therapy session or two or three to get back to fighting form.
Why? Because of her fridge? I'm confused. Sorry.
No, the good O'Reilly, docile O'Reilly, was in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
After the shooting incident and falling in the water.
You're right. Okay. Got confused. Sorry. I didn't understand how that connected with the fridge. Sorry.
Yeah, like, she has her little flashback sequences of, like, getting back into form and everything, and then she goes home and she's like, why is there glass everywhere, and where the hell is my fridge?
Yeah. I guess you just assume someone broke in. Like, I guess if you came home and found your fridge destroyed and thrown down the stairs, you just assume it was vandals, or because that actually does happen. Normally, they steal stuff, but, like, in houses that are left vacant for a long time, like, almost always, all the copper pipe gets stolen out of them, and all of the appliances get stolen out of them. Anything that's easy to sell gets stolen out of there.
Like, why are there punch marks in my fridge, and why is it at the bottom of the stairs?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So, I think we need to move on to some of that endgame feedback.
Yeah, so we're gonna, this will be all for this episode. We'll be back probably almost the same time these two episodes will drop. But we'll be back real soon with our endgame episode. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. Thanks so much for checking in with us. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.